Hello and welcome to another episode of the DC Breezes podcast, Hot Air. My name, as always, is Greg Esser. Been a couple months now since we put out an episode, and that fault lies mainly on me. A tough loss in the playoffs by the Breeze, and it took some time to get over it. Some mental anguish was experienced. Thought there were aspirations this year for championship weekend for the Breeze. Didn't turn out the way that I thought it might. A second round loss in the playoffs to the Toronto Rush. Still can't get over that hump, unfortunately. Several years running now in that regard. Wasn't all a negative story that championship weekend mid-early August. The first round the Breeze took. They beat Montreal Royale. They beat them here in D.C., a home game. 28-16 was the score of that one, and it really never felt in jeopardy. Watched the whole weekend long. The home game through a rain delay, the game on the road then in Toronto, a 29-26 loss for the record. Write it down, record it for the annals of AUDL history. But fun performances to watch from the Breeze that weekend that I'll quickly shout out here on the podcast. Tyler Monroe with an outstanding weekend, 7 assists, 4 goals. Roe McDonald had a 6 assist weekend. He did have 5 turns. I felt like at times they were putting pressure. He was putting pressure on himself to make everything happen with the disc. And you see 5 turns come out of that, but still a stellar weekend out of Rowan. Max Castle, a 6 assist, 3 goal weekend. A real standout performance that I did not see coming is David Bolin Colchin, a.k.a. Duke. 4 blocks that weekend. He had 6 all season and tallies another 4 when it matters most. Lloyd Blake with 3 blocks, also a healthy tally for such high level, these games matter moments. 2 real instances in the games, 2 anecdotes I want to share here on the podcast. Struck me about, the DC Breeze franchise, about the Ultimate community, and I wanted to make sure they were shared with you all, the listeners of Hot Air. And the first one, we waited through a rain delay. The home game didn't end until midnight 30. Daryl Stanley grabs a microphone at the end of the game. Heartfelt thanks to the fans for the whole season, the fans that stayed out through the rain delay, a couple hundred still cheering and wet and loud and supportive. And, real heartfelt speech. I don't know, my words won't do it justice here, but it was cool to hear, cool to see first person, tired bodies on both sides, fans and on the field, and Stanley still rose to the occasion. The other one, a more fun anecdote, is I was down on the field after the game, just shaking hands and enjoying myself, and having been done commentating the game, taking a load off, and one of the Montreal players walked up to me and he was concerned. They wanted to celebrate their season, even if it ended in a tough disappointment, road loss. They wanted to make sure they commemorated the season, and they thought some alcohol would probably be good for that. You can trawl my Twitter feed and probably find some remnants of some conversations I've since had with this gentleman. I won't reveal his identity here, but anyway, he came back to my house because I didn't think there was any liquor stores open at this hour. I may have provided the Montreal Royale with some final parting gifts from their rivalry with Washington, D.C. for their road trip home, the start of their road trip that night, and maybe back at the hotel. For the Hot Air and the off-season here, you've already seen me go to a relatively dormant schedule in broadcasting. That will continue. I expect a December or January episode as soon as maybe there's some more news about securing the coaching staff for next year, players for next year, some early signings, any of that sort of stuff, and maybe also, a little bit of a stat episode. We'll reflect. I'll see if I can't get someone on here to reflect on some of the stats from the year. Get an episode in the off-season. But expect one in a month or two, and hopefully this episode with Alan Kulik on tap here is enough to keep you warm through the autumn season and keep you entertained. Thanks as always for listening. Play us off Broke Royals with our intro music. So here I sit with father-to-be, throwing and going, which way to the weight room, Alan Kolick. How you doing, Alan?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm well. We had to wait a couple weeks here. The end of the season is now far in the rearview mirror. Maybe the emotions have settled, but we're a solid month into the AUDL offseason, and the Breeze now eliminated the San Francisco Flamethrowers crown champion. How you feeling about everything? Broad question. Open it up.
Probably if you had asked me these questions, you know, 5 or 6 weeks ago, my answer would be different than it is today. I'm in, I guess, the third or fourth week of physical therapy after completely tearing my MCL and my PCL. So two out of the four ligaments in my right knee. And it's kind of hard to tell how it's going. My orthopedist, basically when I saw him after the injury, he recommended that I go to PT for about a month and a half, and see how it's progressing before I know whether I need to have surgery or not. So that's kind of the stage I'm in right now. And there are good days and there are bad days.
Well, so that's a really tough place to be. Maybe I hit you on a tough day here.
No, it's all right. I mean, to be honest, the biggest thing with it is, you mentioned earlier in the introduction, my wife is actually, 7 months pregnant and due December 10th. So if I do have to have surgery in, you know, mid-November, late November, then I might be on crutches by the time my baby boy is born.
Well, I'll drop off some groceries or something and, keep your house stocked.
Yeah, we'll definitely be soliciting support from whoever's willing to help at that point.
Well, that's exciting. So it's a reordering of priorities. You know, hey, you know, it's not on honing your on-field game. It's rehabbing. It's these, you know, two tendons in your leg, and then it's family.
Right. That's right. And you know, I may actually start to lift as a result of this injury.
What?
We'll see. Stay tuned.
If you start lifting and putting on too much muscle mass, there might be guys that can start beating you down the field, and I don't know if that's good.
Yeah, there might be guys who can do that with the old knee anyway.
I don't know. I will only believe it once I start seeing it. So there are, you know, ups and downs. That's a roller coaster of a conversation, right? There are highs and lows in that. Child on the way. And as well as, you know, this injury that's you know, keeping you out right now, keeping you sidelined. Another roller coaster weekend, great segue, Greg Esser, is the playoff weekend that the Breeze had. You came out firing on all cylinders, knocking out the Montreal Royale, but then you headed up Toronto where things didn't go as well. You want to give me, you know, your reflections on that weekend and maybe a little bit of a game recap for those two events?
Sure, yeah. So kind of the same old story with Toronto, but I'll start with the Montreal game. So I think we came out and warmed up. It was a Friday night game. It was actually convenient for me because I had something due at work, so I was running a little late to the game. I think I got there like 45 minutes before the game was supposed to start, got in a terrible warm-up, and then we went inside. So it was pretty convenient.
Went inside because of a thunder rain delay.
That's right.
Yeah.
The thunder rain delay, which...
I guess neither of those things would keep you off the field. It's really the lightning, the thing I didn't mention.
Thunder, rain, lightning. Yeah. The whole trifecta. and I think that delay ended up being like 2.5 or 3 hours, maybe.
Yeah, we didn't start that game, I don't think, till maybe 11, 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, so we were all kind of looking at the forecast, saying, looks like there's storms here until, you know, 10 or 11, like, what are we going to do? And then we got word that we were going to play the game regardless, so.
Yeah.
We geared up for a long night at that point.
So the word is coming through to you, you're getting updates about the status of the game. But so what are you doing, like, very physically during, you know, are you still, Are you using this for an extended warm-up? Are you socializing with your teammates? Are you crushing Papa John's pizza?
A little bit of all of those, yeah. So I think the things that I remember the most, sat down and talked with Nate Pryor a little bit about myself having a child, and he said that he was really looking forward to having kids one day.
Okay.
So that was a conversation that stuck in my mind. I do remember getting a bunch of pizza. That was a good moment. And everyone was kind of just hanging out in that small corridor in Gallaudet's like locker room area. I think Daryl rounded up probably like 10 Breeze guys and 4 or 5 Montreal guys for a game of Mafia.
Okay.
So, yeah, there was a lot going on.
So it sounds like then it wasn't extended preparation. It sounded like you really used that time to check out.
Yeah, more chill than anything else.
Okay.
More chill than anything else. And I think, like, we eventually got geared up, but not really until we got out onto the field and started warming up in, I think, somewhat of an abbreviated warm-up.
So then what happened in the game? Now the meat.
Right. So I remember it being rainy, and I remember it being even for, like, the first 4 points. And then I just feel like we pulled away, and it almost felt like Montreal was... They made a lot of mistakes, and I think that the rain caused a lot of those mistakes. The disc was really hard to catch.
Yeah, light wind and then a steady rainfall.
Yeah, steady rainfall, yeah. But it was never particularly close. It was comfortable, and you know, to the great surprise of a lot of the people on the Breeze, you know, we had 100, 150 people stick around throughout the rain delay.
Yeah, I was sitting in the thick of that. You might even be underestimating that audience. It's a bunch of people stayed around till the wee hours of the morning.
It was cool. It was fun. So, yeah, I mean, that's all I really remember about the game at this point.
Okay. Well, so part of the reason that I think everyone was so convinced to get it in on that Friday night was because the winner had to hop on a bus the following morning to get up to Toronto for a Sunday game. Acclimate back to Canada in the case of the Royale, or as it turned out, acclimate to begin with in the case of the Breeze. Maybe that's the one that sticks in your memory a little bit more. It was all 2 days more recent, but more so, oh, spoiler alert, it was disappointing.
Yeah, spoiler alert, we lost. yeah.
But so what went wrong?
So,
if I could be so blunt.
Going to Toronto is hard.
Sure.
Hard for a lot of reasons. Their field is awful. I mean, it's a cool spot. It's like right in the middle of Toronto. And it's a cool stadium, but the field itself is kind of disorienting. It's like the turf is kind of worn, so it's really easy to slip. And it's a Canadian football field, which shouldn't really be that disorienting, but like the line isn't where the line's supposed to be because it's a bigger field.
It's wider, it's longer.
Yeah. So I mean, I guess those are little things. But then the drive is really kind of difficult. So we had a pretty bad experience earlier in the season where we showed up and maybe a half an hour before the game.
Yeah, I remember that.
And had been on a bus for 13 hours. I almost vomited from just like, I'm not good in buses. I get motion sickness really easily. So this time we went and split it up. We did like halfway on Saturday and then the other half on Sunday morning. And then we had some like time to chill in Toronto.
Does that mean you got a scenic stay in one of the Rust Belt cities of Northern New York?
No, we were in, I guess we made it all the way to Toronto.
Okay.
Like outside of Toronto, like it...
You crossed the border the first day.
We crossed the border, we were like an hour and a half outside of Toronto.
Maybe a Hamilton? I don't know, my Ontario knowledge not as strong as it could be.
Yeah, I could...
I know there's another city called Hamilton. That's all I know.
I couldn't tell you. Hamilton sounds good.
It was near a Tim Hortons.
That's true. There was a Tim Hortons.
Nailed it.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. So, yeah. So, that was nice. And we had some time to relax on Sunday before the game. Kind of lay around the courtyard. We actually had, like, a political discussion before the game about the events in Charlottesville had just happened.
Oh, sure.
So there was some discussion about that.
I'm sure those hit close to home to some of the UVA guys.
Right, that's right, yeah. And Lloyd is from, you know, like, Southern Virginia, so there were some different viewpoints about stuff. I won't go any further.
Yeah, that's fine. That. Well, so tell me about the game then. So you know, it's there's some intangible things that go into this game. It sounds like, you know, they've got a ton of fans out there that are cheering loudly and, you know, in your head at all times. They've got a slightly bigger field, so the lines don't quite match up to where you think they should be. But what else is tough, or what else was tough on this day, and what wasn't working? I mean, the Breeze still can, and you still can overcome that situation on the right day. So what wasn't working, you know, in this particular day?
From what I remember, it was just like our offensive line, really, we couldn't get it together. We couldn't play a smooth offense. Like, when we were successful this season, we were able to kind of open up the fields and hit a lot of cutter to cutter continuation, and just have those looks where, you know, a cutter gets it and then has a deep look and then has an under look. And when that's not working and we had to start looking at our resets, it just kind of threw off the way that our offense was working. And we weren't executing. It was kind of a similar story to our first game in Toronto.
So I think that's an interesting point. And, you know, the similarity that those two games have, obviously, is the opponent's the same. Toronto's a great team.
Yeah.
But a story of 2017 for the Breeze has been just really how difficult it is to go on the road and get wins in general. I mean, heck, you guys lost a game in Philadelphia, which is tough. What is it about the road, you know, and the road in the AUDL, and what is it, you know, maybe if you are speculating about reforming that approach, or what are you know, things that go through your head about how to get crisper on the road or to do better in the future?
Yeah, that's a good question.
It's a $1 million question.
It's a $1 million question.
Well,
and I
don't know if the ADL is quite there yet, but it's a question worth money.
And it's funny because, like, the first road trip that we took, which was the game down in Raleigh, I believe. At least that's the first one that I remember.
I think you're absolutely right.
Daryl was big on, you know, guys resting in the bus and making sure that they were sleeping. And it was like, even to the point of, it seemed like
giving them pills.
An extreme, extreme thing where he was making people sleep.
But, yeah. With a baseball bat.
Right, exactly. Like, threatening you if you were going to wake up. Something was going to happen to you. And I think as a result, I mean, like, in that game, I feel like we came out and were really good in the first half. But then we sort of faltered down the stretch. And it's kind of hard to explain that one. I would say fewer people show up.
Yeah.
And that's a simple thing, but, like...
Yeah, I mean, I get your point. And then certainly to have a shallower roster and, you know, not as many legs to play, you know, four quarters or 12-minute ultimate that drags on with stoppages and everything else...
Yeah.
...is a challenge. It's a grind.
Yeah.
So you saw the approach that Daryl had with guys rest on the bus. You saw, maybe an approach that was a little looser on the way up to Toronto. I don't know if, you're going up the day before, maybe people are being a little looser on the bus. People are having a political conversation, be a little bit more extroverted. What does it come down? What do you think is the ideal approach to have success on the road?
I mean, I think it's kind of like an individual thing. Everybody sort of needs something different to get themselves in the mindset. Everybody on the team grew or started playing Frisbee with tournaments. So, like, if you go to a tournament, and it takes a little bit to get into it, it's not a big deal because you have a bunch of games over the weekend. I mean, not saying it's not a big deal, but it's not the same as getting yourself up for one game.
Right.
And I think just, like, having that mental energy to get yourself up for that one game, it's just more difficult, especially if you're committing, like, an entire weekend to that one game.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. You brought up the North Carolina game, and so you got up close and personal, particularly with two of the MVP candidates this year, Jeff Babbitt and then John Nethercutt. We now know John Nethercutt, the winner of the AEDL MVP. You saw him up close and personal. Did it live? And he put up a heck of a game against the Breeze. Deserving?
Yeah, I think he's deserving. And to be honest, I think he is one of the nicest and funniest guys that plays Ultimate. He's just a great guy. He's got that Southern accent. Very charming. Now has the beard. But I'll say to you, so like the first time that we played Ring of Fire, the Raleigh...
Yeah, now you're talking...
Raleigh club team.
Amateur club, yeah.
That's right, yeah. I guess it was 3 or 4 years ago. And he had a lot of hype at that point from his days at North Carolina. I think they had just... one college championship.
That's right, yep.
And he must have thrown like 6 or 7 turnovers in that game. And I thought he was so incredibly overrated. But then, over the years, I got to know him. We hung out a little bit at Worlds tryouts last year. And honestly, the times that I've seen him this year, his throws look incredible. And he looks pretty unstoppable.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was the verdict on the season.
Yeah.
So, again, we're talking Raleigh. It was the cross-coast challenge this year. Not really a cross-coast for the Breeze. You got to scoot on down there on a bus. Honestly, one of the closer games, not having to go to Canada. The Breeze finished second in the East again this year. If you got to choose the cross-coast opponent going into 2018, those second-place teams would be Dallas, Minnesota Windchill, or Los Angeles Aviators. Who would you choose? Which one of those matchups do you want or like?
Yeah, well, I guess the answer for me depends a little bit on who stays in Dallas next year, but right now, if it were the same rosters as last year...
Mikkel and Freud?
It would definitely be Dallas, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. You gotta test yourself against the best. I mean, the more games that you can get against good competition, the more you develop that mental game that you need in those big games.
Even if it is balancing out the schedule a little bit, the best have to play the best to go back to championship weekend.
That's right, yeah. On the flip side of that, I guess it does help the Breeze a lot if we could ever get home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
Yeah, right, because of what we just talked about with road trips being so hard. So, last time I had you on, I was not doing this segment yet. But it's time for over-under. And I'm going to give you a noun, a phrase, and I'm going to ask you whether it is over or underrated. Are you ready?
Yes.
Your first game in a new pair of cleats.
Underrated.
Underrated? It's not a big issue? New cleats or just new cleats?
Oh, I thought it was underrated, like It's a good thing.
Well, for you, is it a good or a bad thing? You think you get a little extra grip on the ground, or you think you get some extra blisters that hinder you?
You know, I try to keep cleats for as long as I can.
How long does the average pair of cleats last you?
I usually buy 2 cleats for a season. And I think that they usually last me only a season. Somehow I blow through the sides of them really quickly.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's the first part that goes for you, the inside sole or the outside sole? Inside sole.
Yeah.
I'm an outside sole guy.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. That outside sole, it pops for me.
Maybe I should cut a little bit more on my outside.
Or me on the inside, I don't know. okay. ADL penalties that happen in the last 10 yards. So you don't get the yardage, you get the center of the disc. Over underrated.
Who's rating that one?
I mean, so I think people...
Are people saying that that's a huge advantage?
This game depends on you knowing what's in the ether right now. If I were perceiving what's
in the media?
Not the media, the ether, the air, the ether, breathe. Ether. What do you know? What's in your soul? What's in your heart, Alan Kolick?
Oh, it's so easy once you get it to the center of the field. So I guess underrated, if I'm understanding the question.
It requires you both to rate it and then give your own gut. It's a very complex game.
I think that's really a big advantage.
Yeah, because from there you're moving right in the end zone.
Yeah, you just throw a breakthrough for a score every time.
GIF text messaging. You send a lengthy GIF, or you send a lengthy text, you just get back a GIF. Over underrated.
I hate that, so... So overrated. Definitely overrated. That just reminds me of Markham.
Is that how Markham responds to text messages?
Not all the time.
You got a good gift from Markham in the last couple weeks?
It'll be more like the last few text messages I just received video links from Markham. But
here's one for you. Sunday weddings, over underrated.
I imagine those. Well, are we excluding Labor Day?
Two-day weekend Sunday weddings.
You know, I've never been to one. And I don't imagine they're very highly rated. But I would still probably say overrated.
Yeah.
I don't know why you would have one.
It seems terrible.
It seems really awful.
I'm stacking the deck here, but it seems terrible. All right, we're DC folk. Mm-hmm. There's a new administration in town. Nearly every weekend in DC, you can go down to the mall and find yourself a protest.
That's right.
Attending a protest, over underrated. Exercising your freedom to protest.
I think that's underrated.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you been out to a couple of protests in DC?
Definitely. I will say that I've been to more protests since the election than I probably had in my previous life. And some of that is just I'm a little bit more aware now about, you know, where I fit into society and how I feel about things. But, I mean, vocalizing your opinion on things is incredibly important.
Yeah. Last one. We go in heavy, we go light. Salads. Over underrated.
Overrated. I've never been a fan of salads unless there's like a lot of bacon and cheese in them, and then it's really not a salad at that
yeah.
point.
It's a sandwich without bread.
Yeah.
All right, you've survived over under, despite your metaphysical breakdown of the very questions that were being offered.
Was I more technical on that? Than
yeah, I mean, I think you really got to the crux of the questions more than anyone else ever has.
Okay.
I mean, just
good, right?
Yeah, it's something.
I just want to make sure, you know.
With that said, I'm out of topics here. You have anything else that you want to say to the people of Hot Air Nation? They're about to go on a hiatus from Hot Air for probably a month or two. So you're getting the final word here.
This is the final
on the 2017 season.
Final 2017 closing thoughts.
They might get a December episode. If the people tweet it up, they could get a December episode.
It would be on the December episode. I'm interested.
I don't even know. I've long wanted to get Lloyd Blake. Ooh. And he's a hard guy to get.
Yeah.
I've long wanted to get a little Joe Freund.
Yeah.
And I'll say it here, I have not long wanted to get, but my recent fascination, David Bloodgood.
Oh yeah, David Bloodgood.
Three young guys that I think would spice it up here a little bit.
Yeah, I think any of those options would be good.
You want to throw your hat into the ring? You want to piss off two of your teammates?
You mean select one of those?
Yep.
Whew. Okay, we've got Lloyd. Very handsome.
But handsomeness has nothing to do with the podcast, obviously.
Yeah, you can't see that. It doesn't translate.
Yeah, it's not a vlog.
But you know, he's very chill too. Like, I think I can't get past Lloyd. I can't even think about the other two right now.
All right, there you have it. There you have it. Alan Kolick's hat is in the ring.
Plus, he's just a fellow lefty, so.
That's true.
I gotta pull for that.
That's true. Any other wise departing words?
Yeah, well, I guess that's all I can really think of. If I'm never on the breeze again.
Is that making the cut here? Am I leaving that in?
I don't know. I don't really know.
You're retiring to the booth with me? Is that what I heard?
I don't really know how to segue into it, but yeah, I would, taking a long, hard thought this offseason about whether or not I want to return to the field next season, and I don't think it necessarily means that I would be retiring, but I would imagine there's probably a decent chance that I'm not playing with the Breeze next season. So if that is the case, you know, it's really been a pleasure, and the way that the whole organization has treated me has been outstanding. So
at we can hope for a hiatus.
Hope for a hiatus.
Hashtag hope for a hiatus.
It's different every
day. It's a good hashtag. It's got all those H's.
It's different every day. Like one day my knee will be hurting and I'll just kind of be like, you know, I need to throw in the towel here. But other days, I'll be more optimistic, and like, Frisbee has been such a big part of my life, you know, ever since I was 17 and started playing, that I don't ever feel like I want to give it up. And I always thought I would be playing, you know, Kevin Moldenhauer, like, till I was 44.
Yeah. You might have tacked on some extra years from Old Power there. I'm sure he won't mind.
I'm just assuming he's going to play two or three more seasons.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have said Trey.
Yeah. The Philadelphia Wunder. Wunder. You can't call him a Wunderkind because Kind is German for kid.
Yeah.
Wundermann.
That's right. But, yeah, we'll see. I guess time will tell.
All right. Well, there's a... You dropped a bomb to end Hot Air. I can't go anywhere from there, so I'm just going to bid the listeners farewell and adios until next episode.
Thanks, Greg.